They do a drop-off. Prick called Garcia. He looked up. That's all the info that Meister had recorded. The minute Garcia's name was out of Tanner's mouth, Styx and Kai went completely fucking still. The temperature in the room seemed to drop about 20 degrees. What? I said, and watched the Prez and the VP look at each other. Silent, unspoken communication. What? I asked louder. Kai's blue eyes were almost black, pupils blown. His skin was mottling with red, and his hands were clenched into fists.
That's Diablo turf, Tank said.
We go onto their turf, and that's a declaration of war. We all looked at Styx, who had lifted his hands. He looked at Smiler and signed, Get in touch with Chavez, the Diablo Prez. Tell him we want through the border undetected, and we need to meet in a neutral place to do it. He rolled his neck. We meet them tonight and get in by morning. We gotta be there when the trucks arrive. Surprise the fuckers. He looked at me. I know that's your bitch, but we need you and Smiler to get us a plan together. Tanner? Styx looked at the White Prince. You got us some eyes on this farm place? Tanner nodded.
Old, but it's something.
Get it to AK. He needs to see the plans.
This treaty with the Diablo's gonna stand when we all rock up in their territory?
Cowboy asked Styx. Guess we'll fucking see, Kai answered for Styx. We're all going, Styx signed. Bikes and trucks. We're taking Ryder, too, I said, and felt every pair of eyes on me. I looked up. You ain't seen what this Meister prick does to these bitches. We have. I pointed to Flame, Vike, Hush, and Cowboy. I shifted on my seat. Fuck knows what state we'll be getting them back in. About 3 hours 30 from here to La Cruz. Something goes down, or he has hurt Phoebe or Grace, Ryder will be needed.
And if Saphira is there, that bitch has been getting raped and drugged nonstop for months.
I shook my head. I ain't taking no chances with any of it. He's coming. He's the only medic that knows how to be on the road when shit goes down, like it or not. He fought with us in the last war, and we need him now more than anyone wants to admit.
I'll get him, Smiler said, and left the room.
We leave in an hour, Styx signed. Gather all the guns we can. The gavel was slammed on the table, and we all fled to get our shit together. I saw Lila waiting in the bar, but I swung out of the back door and onto my bike. I was at my cabin in minutes and gathering my guns. I pulled my favorite sniper rifle from my trunk and made sure I had a fuck ton of bullets. Ash came bursting in the door, face serious, and moved to the same trunk. He took the gun he'd been practicing with and loaded it up. I put my hand on his arm. What the fuck do you think you're doing? Ash stilled.
I'm coming.
Like fuck you are, I snapped. The kid straightened his shoulders. I'm driving the van with Slash. Ryder's in the back with all the medical supplies. Styx ordered it. I stood right in front of him, watching his determined black eyes meet mine, unwavering. You get we could be walking into a fucking war zone, kid. You get some of us might not make it back. This Meister fucker ain't no joke. I held up my gun. We'll kill a lot. Ash tipped his chin up, defiant.
I'm ready, he said confidently. I can shoot. And I'm ready for a war if we get one.
I watched this 16-year-old kid. Watched as he changed from a kid into a fucking man right before my eyes. If I wasn't so full of anger and hate for Meister, I'd have been fucking proud. I grabbed hold of his prospect cut and yanked him forward. Don't do nothing stupid. Stick by me or Flame.
Okay,
he said, and released a long breath. I gathered my knives, my Glock, and more ammo than I'd ever need, and threw it all into a bag. When I stood up, Ash was looking down at the gun in his hand. Fuck. He looked so young. I walked over to him, waiting until he noticed me. You might need to kill people today. Or tomorrow. You come, you fight, that's hangman code. His cheeks paled, but he replied, I know. I wanted to say more, but the truth was the first kill you ever made was not something you could prep for. You do it, change forever. Then get the fuck on with life and kill some more. If it happened, it happened. I loaded the van with supplies, then jumped on my bike. Flame and Vike came roaring up beside me. They each flicked their chins as Ash and Slash got into the van and pulled away. 20 minutes later, the hangman rolled out of the compound as one unit, and with every fucking mile made, I let my hatred of Meister build inside me. Fuel to this fucking mission. Or massacre, I thought to myself, because if that dick had gone anywhere near Phoebe, I'd kill him, worse than any of those fuckers that took my brother. I'd make him pay, strip his flesh, and slice through his guts. And as I looked to my left and right, Flame and Viking by my side, I knew they'd be with me too. Meister was going down, and I was getting back my bitch. There was no other choice.
Chapter 19. Phoebe. I did not know how long we were in the van, but it felt like hours. Grace had cried in my arms until she fell asleep exhausted, but I never let her go. I kept her tightly to my chest as I thought of what lay ahead. Fear. I had nothing within me but pure fear. The van came to a stop, and I tensed when I heard voices outside. The voices were low, but deep, and most certainly male. I trembled when I heard the sound of feet moving to the doors of the van. Grace woke and raised her head, a confused look on her pretty face as the doors flew open. The men who had taken us reached inside and tore Grace from my arms. Grace screamed and reached out for me. I jumped out of the van, trying to get to her, but a hand wrapped around my hair and wrenched me back. "No!" I screamed, fighting to be free. "Grace!" I broke down in tears when the men led her into a building and out of my sight. I looked all around me and did not recognize the place where we were. The air was as hot and sticky as the hangman's home, the sky still as clear. Fields of green were all around us. A water tank sat in the middle of several buildings, but there was nothing else for miles. "He wants her in building two," one of the men said. With his hand still in my hair, I was dragged down a dirt path. I lashed out, trying to see around me for Grace, but there was nothing. Worse, I could no longer hear Grace's screams. Just silence. Why was she being so quiet? We stopped at a building. The man holding me opened the door and threw me inside. I landed hard on the stone floor but scrambled to my feet just as the door shut behind me. I bashed my clenched fists against the wood, yelling to be out. But after minutes and minutes of trying, screaming, I broke down into sobs and slid down the door. What have I done? I looked around the room. There was nothing but an old table and chair in the center. Then I thought of the man's order. He wants her in building two. He. Meister. On my hands and knees, I crawled into the corner of the room. I curled against the wall and tried to picture Grace. What were they doing to her? What would they do to her? Meister. He had coveted her in New Zion, and I had just delivered her to him on a silver platter. I chased back the vomit creeping up my throat. Lila. She would never forgive me for this. What have you done, Phoebe? The sound of the knob turning in the door made me freeze. I held still, my heart beating a frantic rhythm. I kept my eyes fixed on the door. Then lost all strength when Meister walked through. He was just as big as I remembered. He looked at me across the room, his blue eyes meeting mine, and a wave of memories rushed to my mind. I remembered being chained to a bed. I remembered being kept naked, only given clothes when he claimed I had earned it. I choked on a cry when I remembered being in a bar of some sort, on Meister's lap, riding Meister in a room full of people. Then I turned and... AK? Kind eyes. The tree. My AK. The soles of Meister's black boots stepped toward me on the hard ground. My muscles trembled as he stopped before me. I heard every breath I took echoing in my ears. I felt the pulse in my neck, temple, and wrists race in an unsteady beat. He bent down. I closed my eyes, yet I still felt his gaze on me. I felt the daggers his eyes threw and the tension he held in his enormous body. I flinched when a finger landed on my face. My nostrils flared as I desperately tried to control my breathing. I wanted to throw his hand from me. I wanted to lash out and hurt him. But fear held me ransom.
Where have you been, my little whore?
His deep, rough voice asked. I froze, my tears falling down my cheeks. A short laugh spilled from his lips.
But I know. Don't I, Legion?
His hand left my cheek and pushed into my hair. Suddenly my head was ripped back and I felt his breath on my face. Open your fucking eyes, slut, he demanded. I automatically did as he said, and my gaze clashed with his. My stomach fell. He was seething. The skin on his face was red, and his muscles were strained. His teeth were bared, and veins bulged from his neck. He yanked my hair back again, and I cried out,
You were with one of them, weren't you, whore? Fucking them, fucking their cocks like the cult cum slut that you are.
Meister reached down and slammed his hand between my legs. I screamed, unable to hold back my reaction when he dug his fingers into my folds, ripping at the flesh. Meister's rough, unshaven cheek rubbed against mine, burning my skin.
After everything I gave you, after saving you from dying along with all the other dumb fucks at that cult, this is how you repay me?
Shaking and fearful, I managed to open my mouth and ask, What have you done with her? Meister's head drew back, and he smiled.
You mean the little 8-year-old pussy you brought me as a gift? The one I'd wanted in the cult from the minute I saw her?
His malicious smile caused my skin to shiver.
Nothing. She is safe. A girl as pretty as her, untouched and a virgin, is going to make me a fucking fortune.
He pulled me closer by my hair.
That gift almost, makes up for your disobedience. You're a good little whore fisher, Phoebe, bringing me only the top quality bait for my buyers. I should have you on staff. We'd make a fortune putting your skills to use.
My eyes closed, ignoring his taunts, relieved that Grace would remain unharmed for now.
Open your motherfucking eyes,
Meister snarled. He jumped to his feet, pulling me to stand. My scalp felt on fire as I struggled to escape his hold, the pain that was shooting down my spine. I was slammed against the wall, my lungs losing air at the impact. Meister's huge body pressed against mine. He lifted my dress and, ripping my panties in two, thrust his fingers inside. I screamed.
What's wrong?
His lips ran over my cheek, a dark contrast to his hands scraping and stabbing within my channel.
Did he not take you like this?
The sniper? Xavier? I froze, my eyes colliding with his in shock.
Xavier Charles Days, Plano, Texas. Scout sniper, Marines. Sergeant at arms for the Hades hangman.
He smiled wider, then licked over my lips.
I know everything about him. I know his brother who killed his wife. I know he has a nephew who's still alive, lives with his Aunt Claire and Uncle Tom.
He nodded his head in approval.
Good-looking kid. I went to his school and made sure it was really him. Zane's his name. He kept Days as his surname, even though Daddy Dearest went postal and hacked up his mother on the kitchen floor.
He sighed.
I've got to make sure I target the right people, Phoebe. This war shit ain't no horseplay.
My eyes widened in horror. Meister looked affronted.
What? You thought I'd just let them get away with taking my girl?
He shrugged. He brought his fingers out of my channel, leaving the tips resting at the entrance.
Shame you came back so soon, though. It was unexpected.
I searched his eyes. What did he mean by that?
I'd just bought 3 barrels of cesium. I was in the middle of making a dirty bomb, real potent shit. I was going to watch that hangman compound burn to the fucking ground, a smile on my face with all those bastards inside.
He shook his head in mock disappointment.
All their sluts and kids, too.
The bastards deserve it. I did some digging on that MC. It used to be an all-white crew. They had a no-blacks rule. Did shit right. But now they have a black-and-white mutt riding beside them. The Hades hangman, just another fucking letdown to the white race.
You are insane,
I whispered, thankful that he did not get to go through with his plan.
Lila, Grace,
AK, all their family, the children. Meister froze, then rolled his head my way.
Insane?
No. I'm in a fucking war. A war I'm going to win. He forced his fingers back inside me, so roughly I knew he would have drawn blood. And you were going to be my woman. The one beside me when the Brotherhood and Clan unite and take back what is rightfully ours. He leaned in until his mouth was at my ear. So I had to get a replacement. I need a whore, after all. I'm fucking Meister. I needed a good little Aryan princess on my arm and on my cock. Mein Liebchen. Meister tore his hands from between my legs, and I sagged against the wall. He marched to the door and ordered something from one of his men. Meister shut the door again and rested his back against the door. He stared at me, and I never moved my eyes from him. I just watched him, wondering, fearing what would happen next. The door opened, and someone was flung inside. I pushed off the wall when I saw the figure on the ground. It was...
Martha?
I said almost inaudibly, shock stealing the sound. Martha moaned in distress and pain, but she turned at the sound of my voice, and I saw her face. It was cut and bruised black and blue. Her hair was tangled and filled with dirt. But when she saw me, I knew she was no longer under the influence of the potion, because her eyes truly saw me. They recognized me.
Martha.
I stepped forward. But Martha scurried backward and shook her head, arms out. Tears were falling down her cheeks.
I am sorry.
She shook her head again, face contorting.
I had no choice.
She flicked her terrified gaze at Meister, who was still watching, amused, from the door. His arms were folded, and there was smugness in his blue stare.
Sorry for what?
I asked, dread filling my veins, drop by heavy drop.
You see, Liebchen, I could not understand why you attacked Dale that day, weeks ago. Why, when I had ordered you to stay by our shack, you disobeyed me. You had never disobeyed me before. You were always such a good little whore, always obedient. Then I remembered you were trying to get to someone in the barn, someone you knew, someone you wanted to save. He pointed at Martha. Or at least two people. You knew this one, too. I saw it in your eyes. He paused. But then there was a kid on the bed. My biggest draw, my most used piece of pussy. And I knew there was more to it. I swallowed, whipping my head to Martha, who was now sobbing on the floor. I pulled them off the cocktail that kept them under my command and decided to get some answers from them. The other one? The young, golden pussy? Never cracked. Not once. Fucking strong-willed slut. But this one. Meister walked to Martha and lifted her up by her arm. This one squealed like a fucking pig. She told me why you wanted the other slut freed so badly. I held my breath as Martha shook her head. Her eyes were so ashamed, so filled with guilt. No,
I whispered, my legs beginning to lose strength.
A daughter,
Meister said and smiled, a wide, cruel smile. A fucking daughter you had at 12 years old. His head tilted to the side. It seems you always were a slut, Phoebe. Fucking men when you were a child? No wonder you were so good on my cock. By the time I got to you, you had that shit down to perfection.
I am sorry, sister, Martha said, and my heart cracked for her. She was black and blue, too thin and so broken, no more than a living corpse.
I opened my mouth to tell her there was nothing to forgive, when Meister's hands suddenly moved and snapped her neck, the loud crack of breaking bone echoing off the stone walls. Martha's lifeless body crumpled to the ground. I screamed, seeing my friend's eyes forever staring at me, her neck disjointed. I screamed and screamed as Meister moved to the door and opened it. A guard entered, dragging another person with him, and then everything seemed to stop. My thoughts, my heart, the breath in my lungs, as Saphira was thrust before me.
No!
I shouted, and Saphira's head lifted up to face me. Her brown eyes filled with tears, and her hands covered her mouth.
Phoebe?
She said through her cut and swollen lips. I watched her face twist in sadness, and she tried to run toward me. Meister pulled her back against his body, and I snapped. Pushing my feet forward, I charged at Meister. I needed to get him away from my girl. But before I could, a blow came to my stomach, and my knees hit the ground. I was wrenched up by the guard, who held onto my arms, keeping me back. Saphira! I shouted, watching her eyes grow large with fear.
Phoebe!
She called back. Meister sliced his hand across her face. Her head lolled to the side, dazed, and Meister took hold of her cheeks, forcing her to face me. I cried, choking on anger at seeing my daughter in this monster's arms. Meister could see it in my expression, I knew. He smiled coldly. His hand moved down to her breasts, and he squeezed the flesh. Saphira cried in his arms, but he had no sympathy for her. I tried to move, to get to her, but I was bound by the guard's incredible strength. Saphira looked down and saw Martha's dead body. She struggled to be free, fear taking her over, her screams loud and shrill. Meister held her still. I told you I needed a replacement when you left, Meister said again, and I blanched. He stroked Saphira's cheek. When I found out who she was, I knew it had to be her. His hand ran down her torso until it reached her core. I moaned in anguish as he touched her between her legs, her brown eyes fixed on mine, begging, crying for help. And her pussy is tighter, so fucking tight. He shrugged, groaning as though that fact brought him pleasure. I'm guessing that's due to her age. 14, he shook his head. So fucking good to own, to lick, to taste, perfect teenage pussy. I whimpered, unable to bear him speaking of my daughter in such a way. With his eyes on me, he said, "And she fucking loves it. Watch." Meister put his hand on the back of Saphira's neck and pushed her forward. Her feet stumbled as she tried to keep upright. Meister bent her over the table in the center of the room and kicked up her soiled dress. I lost control. Every fiber of my being flared to life at the thought of Saphira on that table being forced. And when she looked up at me, her eyes helpless, yet resigned to her fate, I could not do anything else. I kicked and I scratched the guard holding me, frantic and completely wild. Fuck! The guard cried when I managed to hit between his legs. His arms fell from me, and I charged forward. I ran at Meister full force and pushed on his chest. He only stumbled back a fraction, but it was enough for Saphira to get free, to back away. And I swung. Fists formed, I lashed out at his face. I struck and I struck until Meister's patience broke and he struck me across the face. I fell at the blow. Fell until my back hit the table. But he kept coming, face raging, his strikes hitting every target. My face, my stomach, my chest.
Phoebe!
I heard Saphira call, crying behind me. But all I could think was that she was safe now. I had saved her from him. Meister yanked me closer to him. His blue eyes were on fire. You wanna fuck that bad slut? He asked through gritted teeth, spitting on my face. I did not answer, but instead let him spin me around and slam my chest down onto the table. The wind was knocked out from me, but when I looked up, I saw the guard that had previously held me, holding my daughter instead. And she was breaking her heart, crying. She watched. She looked into my eyes as Meister lifted my dress and rammed himself inside me. Still sore from his fingernails cutting my insides, his fingers taking me so harshly, and my face still throbbing from his blows, I kept my expression calm. I smiled weakly, trying to tell her I was okay. I smiled at Saphira and kept her gaze. If she held my eyes with her own, she would not see Meister plowing into me so roughly. She would not see me wanting to scream out in agony at the pain. He took and he took, but all I could think was that I was glad it was me and not Saphira. I could not have seen that. It would have killed me.
Meister grunted and bellowed behind me until I felt his hips jerking, until I heard him shout through his release. I felt his seed spurt inside me and breathed, knowing that it was over. Meister leaned over me and with his mouth at my ear said, "Tomorrow, you will both be out of my life and going to hell. Then I'll go after everyone you love. Your sister at the hangman and that prick that you've been screwing. Each will die, slowly. And they'll die knowing you condemned them. Damned them." Meister signaled for the guard to release Saphira. She stood on the spot, not knowing what to do. I heard the men's footsteps move toward the exit and the door close behind them. When I looked to check they were gone, my legs collapsed and I fell to the ground. I tried to lift my body, but I could not.
"Phoebe,"
Saphira's soft voice sounded like the welcome of heaven to my ears.
"Phoebe,"
she said again. Tears flooded her face as she looked down at me. When I traced her gaze, I saw the blood coming from between my legs, staining my upper thighs.
"It is okay,"
I said, and almost broke when she came to my side and knelt beside me. I drank in her beautiful features, and I let my tears loose when I saw that freckle I had always loved to the side of her left eye.
"You are hurt."
She tentatively reached out her hand, unsure where she could touch me. But I wanted to feel the touch of her hand so much. I reached out and took it, bringing it to my face.
"Why?"
she said, and cried harder, her walls tumbling down.
"Why did you do that? He has hurt you so badly."
"I could not let him hurt you anymore." I tried to move my legs. Saphira put her arms under mine and helped me move to lean against the nearest wall. She was so skinny, so weak, yet she carried me, my baby. She sat down beside me. I took her hand, and I saw her newborn hand in the center of my palm 14 years ago. Then her 4-year-old hand in mine as we ran around the fields on one of my visits. Her shaking hand in mine when she had received her first touch from a man. All of it, my daughter, my beautiful daughter. "You are mine," I said, unable to hold back the words any longer. "You are my miracle, my little girl." My voice was cut and broken, but I felt Saphira tense beside me. When I looked at her confused face, I smiled, even through the gutting pain, because she was here beside me. She was here when I thought she had been lost. There was no more pain now that I had her hand in mine once more. Her eyes were wide as she listened to me confess my biggest secret. As I watched her, I felt such love for her. So much it was indescribable. "You are mine," I told her again, never breaking her gaze. "Mine." I kissed the back of her hand and tried not to break down at the sight of her cut and bruised face.
I do not understand," she said.
Her hand trembled in mine. I held on to her tighter. "I gave birth to you when I was 12. Saphira sucked in a shocked breath. I felt her pulse race on her wrist and saw her eyes shimmer. She blinked, her long lashes like feathered fans as she tried to comprehend everything I said. I cleared my throat, tears streaming down my cheeks. "They took you from me. They took you from me against my will and would not let me have you." I leaned in and kissed her forehead. "But I fought to see you. I did everything I could to see you."
"You,"
she whispered.
"You were my sister. You told me you were my sister."
"I had no choice. They would not let me tell you the truth. They did not want us to become too attached." I laughed without mirth. "It did not work. From the minute you were born, you were my entire soul." Saphira's bottom lip quivered as she stared at me. She searched my face as if seeing me as someone new.
"I wanted you too,"
she said softly and inched closer to me.
"I would ask for you all the time, but they said you would not come to me unless I did as they ordered. I wanted you, my sister, Phoebe."
"You did?" I asked in disbelief. She smiled slightly.
My favorite moments were when you came. I would count the days in between, wondering where you were.
She dropped her eyes then, looking up at me nervously, said,
I always wanted a mother.
Her words shattered my heart. My eyes drifted to a close.
Phoebe,
she said urgently, and I smiled. I smiled through the pain and the tears.
I always wanted you too.
I opened my eyes and saw Saphira staring at me with nothing but love in her gaze. Then she looked at Martha's body on the floor, and sadness quickly overcame her. She broke. My daughter broke, and for once in my life, I was here to offer comfort. I was here for her. I took her in my arms, pulling her into my chest, and she came. She took the solace I offered and caused my heart to soar. I rocked her back and forth, kissing the hair on her head. I held her in my arms, and even in this hell, I could have been fooled into believing I was beside a river in heaven, peaceful and content. Saphira cried. I cried as I held her.
Shh,
I soothed and heard her stuttered breaths. She fell apart in my arms for minutes and minutes until her breathing calmed and she slowly came back together. Taking advantage of the silence, I said,
I did not know you were here.
Saphira stiffened.
The prophet, or who we all believed to be the prophet, told me he had saved you.
I winced. I thought you were safe.
I was given to Meister, she said, and I felt the guilt take root. I do not remember much of that until a few weeks back when he brought me around.
She hiccuped.
He wanted me. He used me as his. Wanted me as his white princess, he said.
Her words sent a stab of pain into my stomach. Saphira lifted her head.
I cannot believe this.
Blushing, eyes timid, she ran her finger over my forehead, down my cheek and over my lips.
My mother,
she said, and the sound of that name from her lips punctured my heart.
You are my mother.
She laughed a single laugh, then her forehead creased and she began to weep.
And you saved me from him, she said. You took my place and he...
Always, I promised, and laid her head upon my shoulder.
Why is life like this?
She asked softly. She looked up at me and I met her gaze.
This painful. This sad.
Uncontained sadness burrowed inside of me at the life she had, that she had lived.
It is not, I said, and watched the surprise blossom on her cheeks. Out there is happiness to be found.
Truly? She asked.
I have seen it. For a short, precious time, I lived it.
Her eyebrows rose.
And what is it like?
Beautiful. If you only let in the light, if you chase the sunrise. I smiled to myself.
There is a man out there who made me believe in something I thought was forever lost.
What?
Love.
I glanced down at my daughter.
I have loved you. I have loved you, yearned for you, yet have been wounded every step of the way. I have a sister. You have an aunt, Lila. And I watched her be hurt too many times to count. And you have a cousin, Grace, who you would simply adore.
I do, she said in shock. I nodded.
Then there is AK, the man who showed me what good truly means, showed me love without condition, a man I left as I could cause him no more pain. He has suffered too much in this life, too.
Then my heart fell.
But Meister has Grace. She is here, somewhere.
Saphira's eyes closed.
What will happen to us? What will become of us all?
I held her tighter as she rested on my shoulder once more.
I do not know, I said honestly. But I will fight for us, for you and Grace. I will.
I kissed her,
stroked my hand through her blonde hair. I will fight for my daughter. Safira's breathing steadied into a soft rhythm, and without seeing her face, I knew she had smiled.
Daughter,
she murmured and wrapped her arms around my waist.
Mother, I like the sound of that.
As she fell asleep against me, cradled in my arms, I realized that wishes and hopes could come true. I had rocked her to sleep when it mattered most, and although I did not know what Meister planned, I would never let her down again. In this dark moment, I cherished every second of this time, this silent time with my daughter back in my arms. As a baby, her heart had beat next to mine, and in my warm embrace, it beat once again, making me whole. After all these years of struggle, I had my baby back with me, asleep, comforted by my touch, and I would die to keep her safe. Where are we going? I gripped Safira's hand. The guard did not speak as he dragged us from the room in which we had slept. He forced us into the bright morning light and toward a waiting van. Three larger vans were beside it. Meister stood, waiting. He watched as the door was opened and we were thrown inside.
Aunt Phoebe,
a familiar voice shouted as I hit the floor of the truck. Safira came in beside me and I pulled her to my side. Grace was tucked into the corner of the van, looking fearful.
Grace, I said in relief, and she scurried into my arms. Aunt Phoebe, I am scared,
she cried, and tucked her head into the crook of my arm. I shook my head, tears springing from my eyes as I tried to think of what to do. But I had no answers. Gentle fingers wiped away the droplets from my cheeks. I turned to see Safira giving me a watery smile. More pain than I had ever felt in my life rushed through me when I realized that all of this pain and suffering, this rough treatment by men, was nothing new to Safira. It was all she had ever known. Grace's head lifted and looked across at Safira. I hugged Grace tighter.
Grace, this is Safira.
I inhaled deeply and said, My daughter. I heard Safira's breath hitch, knew she felt the strangeness those words conjured as much as I did. But they felt right, and when I nervously met Safira's eyes, I saw a sense of peace settle within them.
Your daughter?
Grace sniffed.
Yes.
Safira ran her hand over Grace's head.
Nice to meet you, Grace,
she said shyly.
You too,
Grace replied. I had little time to enjoy the moment. The doors were slammed shut, and we were plunged into darkness. So I held on to my niece and my daughter, my hands clasped tightly in theirs. And as we rolled away, I prayed to whoever was listening that I could somehow get us out of this alive. We deserved our chance at happiness.
Chapter 20. AK. Secluded Farm. La Cruz, Mexico. My stomach was flat to the roof as I waited, the sun coming over the horizon. It beat on my back, taking me back to Iraq. I breathed steadily, eyes scanning the abandoned farmhouse. We had been here for 2 hours now, flanked by the cover of darkness. I checked the other positions, Hush and Cowboy at the north, Tank, Tanner, and Bull at the south. Flame and Viking were to the west, and beside me were Styx, Smiler, and Kai. Ash and Slash were in the dilapidated barn we were using as a hideout, with the truck and the bikes. Ryder had been given a gun and told to guard the truck. Fucker could be handy in a fight. The meeting with the Diablos had gone surprisingly smoothly. We need passage to Mexico, Kai had told Chavez, the Diablos' prez. Like Styx, he had inherited the title when Styx had killed his father in the Mexican War, straight after Chavez's dad had put a bullet in Styx's dad's skull. There was no love lost between the two sons, both in their 20s and of similar build and savageness. But with a, you owe us, and when the time comes, I'll be cashing that shit in. From Chavez, the deal was done, and we crossed the border,
No questions asked. No detection from the cartel, border patrol, or even better, Meister and this Garcia. Heads up, Kai said from beside me, as Kickup from the dirt road mushroomed in the distance. I whistled, telling all our brothers shit was about to go down. I focused through my scope and watched as a single Escalade approached. I tightened my hold and set to strike. The farmhouse was silent as the Escalade came to a stop. It was bulletproof, armored, expensive as shit. Fuckers clearly expected trouble on a daily basis. And they had money, a lot of it. I breathed deeply, watching, blocking everything out as the door opened. A muscled Mexican stepped out of the driver's side, rifle in his hand. He scanned the area, but clearly, having been here many times before, expected no trouble. Exactly what we fucking banked on. He opened the back door, and a slick-looking motherfucker stepped out onto the dirt. He was tall and toned, with jet-black hair. The boss, Garcia. I heard Kai growl. Styx put his hand on his shoulder. I glanced to my left. Kai's face was more livid than I'd ever seen in all the years I'd known him. Styx didn't look too different, but that fucker knew when to be patient and when to kill. They knew this asshole. Clearly. And by their reaction, this fucker wasn't easy meat. But there was no time to find out more. Three more men got out of the back seats. More muscle. But that was it. Five in total. The buyers? Traffickers. Minutes passed while they all talked and laughed. Like being about to trade, my fucking woman was nothing to their prick lives. I wanted to pull the trigger so bad. I wanted to blow a hole in each of their skulls. But there was still no sign of Phoebe. No sign of... The sound of oncoming trucks came from the dirt road. I turned, silently, and through my scope saw four vans, three large ones and one small one. My heart started firing. But I held my cool. I felt the tension coming from Kai beside me. I checked the brothers were ready. They were braced, guns at the ready. 2 minutes later, the truck stopped. And Meister jumped out of the cabin of the smaller van. The drivers of the main three vans remained in their seats. The smaller van kept my attention. If the cult whores were in those vans, what the fuck was in the smaller one? Meister and Garcia shook hands, and I wanted to laugh. The king of the Aryan Brotherhood doing business with a Mexican. Hypocritical fuck. They talked, and we waited. Then a loud shout came from the back of the smaller van. The hair on the back of my neck pricked up when I recognized that fucking voice. Phoebe. And she didn't stop. Her hands smashed on the door so loud that Meister's back stiffened in annoyance, and he marched to the back. He threw the doors open, and through my scope, I saw three figures. Phoebe, a blonde, and Grace. I held up my hand and hit Kai's arm. I pointed to the van, signaling she was there. Then Meister was pulling Phoebe from the back. No sooner had her feet hit the dirt than he sliced his hand across her face. Her head snapped back, and when I looked up close, I saw that she was beaten. And my blood boiled when I saw the dried blood on her dress. He touched her. That fucker had touched her. I breathed through my nose, forcing myself to calm. Meister dragged the other two figures out. A blonde came out first, and I knew, I just fucking knew who it was. Phoebe, lashing out at the guard who had come to join Meister, was screaming, fighting to get to her. Saphira. He threw Saphira to the ground, her thin body crumpling to the dirt. She stayed down, too scared to get up. Meister pulled Grace out, but the fucker wasn't rough with her. Instead, he held her hand and took her to Garcia. Garcia smiled and crouched down. His hand pushed Grace's hair from her face, and I heard Kai losing it beside me, a low growl of seething anger, followed by, "That asshole's gonna fucking die." And that was all the fucking warning I got before all hell broke loose. Kai fired a shot straight at Garcia, but just as the bullet left his barrel, Garcia's guard moved in front of him, taking the shot. The side of the big fucker's head blew off and he fell to the ground, and the place exploded into chaos. Fuck, Kai hissed. Guns fired in all directions. Kai and Styx rushed down the stairs of the building, plowing into the fray. I aimed and fired at another Mexican guard. He fell as I hit my target. Garcia jumped into the back of the Escalade and shut the door. The bullets pinged off the metal, not getting through. Grace screamed, covering her ears at the sounds. Kai dove for his daughter, but as he did, Meister grabbed hold of her and wrenched her to his chest. He took out his gun and held it to Grace's head. Kai stopped dead, as did Styx. Heart pounding, I lined up my shot, placing the bullseye at Meister's head. Calm. Breathe. Focus. But before I could pull the trigger, a shot fired from behind him. The bullet came smashing through his skull, brain and bone hitting the air. My head snapped up as Meister's huge body fell forward, dead. Blue eyes forever open, landing on top of Grace. Kai had flipped him off her in seconds, picked up his daughter, and run back in the direction of the barn. I turned my head, looking to see who had shot the prick. Phoebe stood with a rifle in her hand, hands fucking shaking, and cheeks paling. She'd fucking hit him. Direct hit on Meister.
Saphira was still on the ground, hiding her head with her hands.
Two more men came running at Phoebe. I took one out, then the other, not letting a single one get near her. I had just lined up my next shot. Some AB driver who had jumped out of the van, when a gunshot went off behind me. In seconds, I rolled onto my back, ready to strike whoever was there, and the body of a Klansman slammed to the roof beside me. I looked up to see who had taken the fucker out. It was Little Ash. His gun was held out. Nostrils flared as he stared down at the now-dead skinhead. "Ash," I said. His black eyes were wide with shock, but he managed to look at me. I saw him come up the stairs. I had to follow. "Ash?" I heard the sound of tires screeching from the road. I rolled back onto my front and saw all three of the vans pulling out onto the dirt road, abandoning Klansmen who were still fighting my brothers. Flame was hacking some cunt up with his knives. Viking was shooting any fucker that moved. And then I saw him. Saw some Klansman get off the ground, bleeding from a gunshot wound in his shoulder.
Phoebe was looking around in a daze, hands bloodied, face pale, lost, trying to find Saphira.
She'd gone. Where the fuck had she gone? Then I saw, almost in slow motion, as the Klansman pointed his gun at Phoebe. I scrambled for my rifle, determined to end this fucker, and I shot, sending a bullet through his heart. But he'd already fired his gun before he hit the ground. I watched helplessly.
I watched as Saphira came running from behind the cover of a van and pushed Phoebe out of the way. And I watched as the bullet sailed straight through her stomach. Her brown eyes were wide, turning to Phoebe as she fell to the ground. I ran. I fucking ran the minute Phoebe lifted her head and saw Saphira on the ground. I was there in seconds, taking out the final few fuckers that got in my way. I followed the sounds of Phoebe's frantic cries and ran to where she sat, screaming and crying with Saphira in her arms. Blood mushroomed across Saphira's white dress, fucking bright red blood coming from her stomach.
"No!" Phoebe screamed as the shooting came to a stop. The vans had gone. The Escalade had escaped too. Garcia had got away. "Ryder!" I shouted and dropped down beside Phoebe. She was a fucking mess, beaten, bruised, and clearly raped. But her blue eyes were wild, fucking cut, when she met my gaze.
"Saphira!"
She cried harder, almost unable to breathe.
I thought I'd seen pain before. I thought I'd seen the fucking terror of loss. But in that moment, I realized I hadn't seen shit. Phoebe. My fucking Red was dying along with her daughter. Fucking heartbroken and bleeding out. Ryder came sprinting to Phoebe. Our van came seconds later, slash at the wheel.
Grace was in the front of the cabin, her little hands on the glass, trying to see Phoebe and Saphira. "I need her in the back," Ryder said. I picked up Saphira in my arms. Phoebe reached forward, trying to get her back from me. Fucking losing it more, second by second. "Get in the van, Red," I ordered, trying to be quick. Phoebe stumbled to her feet. I laid Saphira on the floor, and Ryder got to work.
He split her dress and I watched as he rubbed his hand down his face, seeing the wound. It was bad. It was fucking bad. I could tell by his reaction. "We need to go, now," he said, and got the fuck to work.
I lifted Phoebe in beside Saphira. She fell to her knees at her daughter's side.
She held her hand and rocked back and forth. Phoebe was already emotionally too far gone. Red was fucking mentally tapping out. I turned and saw my brothers getting back on their bikes. Then I saw Ash, standing on his own, staring at his fucking hands. I sprinted over to him. "Ash," I said, and he looked up. The kid hadn't even seen the commotion, too fucking busy freaking out about his kill. "You good?" He numbly nodded his head. "I need you to ride my bike back to Austin." Ash nodded again. "Ash," I pushed, and Flame appeared behind him. Ash looked at his older brother and swallowed. Flame's hand clenched at his side, then clenched again. "I got him," he said. Then, awkwardly as fuck, put his hand on Ash's shoulder and squeezed. I saw the fucking tears build in Ash's eyes, at the fact Flame was touching him, at the fact he'd killed. Flame was fucking touching him. I gave my keys to Flame, then turned and ran back to the van. I slammed the door shut and sat beside Phoebe.
I pulled my bitch into my arms as Ryder worked on Saphira.
As we moved out, Phoebe looked up at me, her lifeless daughter on the floor before her, and I didn't like what I fucking saw in her eyes. She was dead. Her eyes were fucking dead. The tears had stopped. She was numb. But her hand held tight to her daughter's, so I held on to her. I just fucking held on.
Phoebe.
"No!"
A voice screamed from beside me. I blinked and then heard two shots. I turned and Saphira jerked before me. I was confused. I did not know what had happened. Until she fell. She fell to the ground. I dropped beside her. Then I saw it. Saw the blood pouring from her stomach. Saw her brown eyes watching me, silently begging me to save her. "Saphira." Her eyes began to close. Panic gripped me as the blood kept coming. I pulled her into my arms, trying to wake her up. "Saphira," I screamed, realizing she would not wake. I brought my hands to her face. She was getting cold. She was getting cold. AK was carrying me out of the van, but I would not let go of Safira's hand. I could not. She needed me. "I am her mother," I said, as we entered the clubhouse, but my hand fell from hers when AK pulled it away. "I am her mother," I repeated numbly. "She needs to go, Red. Ryder needs to get the fucking bullet from her stomach." Kane and some of the men took her into a room. I let AK lead me to the room to wait at the doorway, but as I watched her hand fall to the side of the bed, her life draining from her veins, as I watched her face grow paler, and as I watched Kane try but fail to save my girl, I knew it was too late. She was gone. I felt it within me. She had gone. My daughter. She had died. I did not save her. When the time came, I had failed. I tried, but like everything else, I could not save her. When it mattered most, I failed. I was going to lose her when I had just gotten her back, when she had just called me mother, when we had our chance at a better life. My feet backed away, and away again. "AK, I need your help," Kane said from beside Saphira. AK brushed past me, but I kept backing away. I saw AK taking a bag and pushing a needle into her arm. The potion. They were giving her potion. She was never coming back. They needed the potion to take the pain away because her pain would never go. She was never coming back to me. To be in my arms. To be in my heart. I came to a door, and needing to be alone, needing to be away from the blood and the pain and the evidence of my failure, pushed it open. I staggered into the room, using the countertop as a guide. I did not know where to go. I did not know what to do. I needed this pain in my heart to go away. I needed the image of Saphira bleeding in my arms to go away. My hand knocked something over. I looked down. I had spilled a bottle of pills. Pills. I knew pills took the pain away. I cleared the fog from my eyes and looked around. A bottle of alcohol was on the opposite countertop. That took away the pain, too. Taking the bottle, trying to see through the tears, I pulled off the cap and grabbed a handful of the pills. I swallowed one, then took a drink. I did it again. I did it again and again until the pain began to fade. I did it again and again until my eyes closed, and I woke up in a familiar forest. I wiped my eyes as I drank in the beauty of the bright green trees. The grass was soft under my bare feet. My arms were clean of bruises, and there was no pain. Mama? I closed my eyes at the idyllic sound of a softly spoken voice. Mama.
Mama, you are here.
There was no pain in her voice, no fear. There was just happiness. Opening my eyes, I looked toward the river. Saphira was sitting on the grass. She was dressed in white, her long blonde hair falling to her back in soft waves, and she was smiling. Saphira, I said, and ran to where she sat. I dropped down beside her and took her in my arms. She fit so perfectly, like it always should have been. Are you at peace now? I kissed her forehead.
I am, now you are here, she said, and placed her head on my lap.
She sighed as I stared at the glistening water of the river.
Can we stay here, Mama?
She looked up at me with her beautiful brown gaze. I leaned down and kissed the freckle on the side of her eye that I adored.
We can stay, I said, knowing we would be happy here.
Good. She drifted off to sleep, and I smiled again, because all was good, at last.
Chapter 21. AK. You think she's gonna get through this? I asked Ryder quietly, so Phoebe wouldn't hear me. Ryder dropped the bullet into a tin beside him and looked up. Had to give it to the ex-prophet. Fucker had gotten his head down and dealt with this shit without complaint. Turned out he took down a few Klansmen in the process, too. We hadn't seen another truck come up late in the shootout. Ryder took out the driver, and another before one got away. The one Ash took out before he could kill me. He nodded. Stopped the bleeding early enough. She needs more blood. Waiting on her type, but she should be okay. Bullet hit to the left of her stomach, no vital organs were touched, luckily. She should be okay. Relief ran through me. I rocked on my feet as he began stitching her up. Thanks, I mumbled. Ryder's head snapped up in surprise. I reluctantly met his eyes, and he nodded his head. After what Phoebe has done for me, for Bella, and after finding out Judah did all, this...
He looked at Saphira and gritted his teeth.
He'd been told the whole story of his brother's trafficking side dealings. Fucker took it hard. Most of the shit had been going on for months, all behind his back while he was still prophet. I actually felt something close to sympathy for the asshole. I turned to look at Phoebe at the back of the room. She wasn't there. Phoebe? I walked closer to the door. I stuck my head out into the hallway. Phoebe! I tried again. I ran to the bar, wondering where the fuck she was. Vike was sitting at the bar. Have you seen Phoebe? I asked. She ain't been in here, he said. I ran out into the hallway again and started checking the brothers' club rooms. Most of the brothers were sleeping or gone the fuck home. I burst out of the doors and into the evening air. Hush and Cowboy sat in the yard, drinking and smoking. You all right, mon frere? Phoebe. I repeated her name again, starting to really fucking panic. Not come out this way, Hush answered. Been here since we got back. I tried to think, tried to imagine where the fuck she could have gone. I darted back into the clubhouse and just started checking doors one after the other. Storage, armory, fucking bathrooms. Then I got to the door that led to a break room behind the bar, where whoever was working could catch a smoke or drink.
I slammed through and froze in my tracks. An overturned bottle of Tylenol was on the counter. There were only a couple of pills left. My pulse raced. Then my motherfucking heart dropped.